new bill in Congress seeks to revitalize general aviation. The NTSB continues to examine the Dreamliner battery fire, and the FAA will not cut midnight ATC shifts. This is Aero News for Thursday, May 9th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. In a move that would cut regulations on the general aviation industry and thereby improve safety, decrease costs, and free private sector innovation, Congressman Mike Pompeo, Republican of Kansas, has introduced the Small Aircraft Revitalization Act, or SARA. The bill addresses a number of challenges facing the general aviation industry caused by outdated regulation, including the steady decline in new pilots, flight activity, and the sales of new small general aviation airplanes. For example, the average general aviation airplane is now 40 years old. Over the last 18 months, the FAA Part 23 Reorganization Aviation Rulemaking Committee, or ARC, has worked to create a regulatory environment that will contribute significantly to revitalizing the health and safety of new and existing small airplanes. SARA requires the implementation of the Part 23 ARC recommendations by the end of 2015. Congressman Pompeo says, quote, "With this bill, we can ensure that the general aviation industry has what it needs to thrive," end quote. The NTSB has reportedly extended a contract with Chesapeake Defense Services for additional computed tomography scans, or CT scans, of batteries similar to those removed from Boeing Dreamliners as it continues its investigation into why a battery caught fire aboard one of JAL's 787s back in January. According to a sources sought notice posted by the NTSB on May 3rd, quote, "The NTSB is planning to conduct teardown examinations as soon as possible of several aircraft batteries similar to the one involved in an aircraft incident that occurred in Boston, Massachusetts. To facilitate those examinations, CT scans of these batteries and their subcomponents are required to non-destructively determine as much information as possible about those components," end quote. While the FAA has approved Boeing's modifications and is allowing the Dreamliner to return to service, the actual cause of the battery fire has still not been determined. The NTSB hopes to have those scans completed by May 16th. Meanwhile, Ethiopian Airlines will ask Boeing to help offset revenues lost while its Dreamliners sat through a mandatory grounding that began early in January, and the airline says that the discussions will begin, quote-unquote, soon. Ethiopian began revenue service with its Dreamliners last month after the battery systems on board the airplanes were modified. Boeing says that it has been in close contact with all of its customers since the planes were grounded concerning potential compensation for lost revenue. Ethiopian was the first carrier to restart flying passengers aboard a Dreamliner. It made a flight from Addis Ababa to Nairobi on April the 27th. Ethiopian operates a fleet of 5 Dreamliners and has an additional 5 on order, according to its website. The first was delivered on August 14, 2012. The FAA has reversed course on a plan to close 72 air traffic control towers and other ATC facilities at midnight in an effort to meet the automatic spending cuts that went into effect under sequestration. The announcement came Wednesday after a conference call with airlines and advocacy groups. Some of the airports that were to lose overnight service included Chicago's Midway Airport, Milwaukee's General Mitchell Airport, Albuquerque International Sunport in New Mexico, and Atlantic City International in New Jersey. The Associated Press reports that the decision to cut the midnight shifts was separate from the furloughs that were the subject of legislation passed last week. The FAA did not say that the bipartisan legislation passed by the Congress was the reason they decided to keep the facilities open overnight. In fact, they gave no reason at all. The agency is still mulling over whether to close 149 contract towers at smaller and mid-sized airports around the country. Lawyers for 9 organizations representing some 400,000 aviation professionals, passengers, and law enforcement officers have filed a legal petition with the Transportation Security Administration and copied Homeland Security, seeking to rescind plans to allow knives in the aircraft cabins for the first time since 9/11. The petition makes several critical points. 1. Permitting knives in the cabin is an unnecessary risk to the traveling public. 2. It would be irresponsible to relax the TSA's existing policy on knives when virtually every organization representing those directly affected by the change adamantly oppose it on safety and security grounds. 3. TSA's argument saying the change would bring the U.S. in line with the international standard for knives is false, as there is no international standard for knives. In fact, Canada, Israel, and Taiwan, to name a few, ban knives on planes. And 4. The only way to be certain whether a folding knife's blade locks is to open the knife. Screening for knives in this manner would substantially slow security checkpoints. TSA had announced that it would begin allowing certain knives on planes beginning April 25th, but after massive opposition and the bombings at the Boston Marathon, the administration announced that it would temporarily postpone the knife policy. It has not said that it would reconsider the policy change. The coalition's legal filing is adamant. No knives on planes ever again. When AeroNews continues, Canada and Qatar square off over the ICAO. Brown gets winglets, and you go, girls.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, May 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Canadian maple leaf is a bit redder than usual, as Canadians are expressing their anger at what they feel is a backdoor attempt to move the ICAO from Montreal to Doha, Qatar. The Emirate of Qatar last month reportedly presented the ICAO with an unsolicited offer to move the agency's headquarters. Qatar offered to build a new headquarters building to pay for the moving expenses, as well as any termination expenses resulting from Canadians who might not want to move to Qatar and thus would lose their jobs. The move would take place in 2016. The rub is that the Emirate did not consult the Canadian Foreign Minister before presenting the offer to the ICAO, according to a report from the India Times. There is reportedly some political motivation behind the offer. The Qatari government is said to be critical of Canada's pro-Israel position, and some Arab states have had differences with Canada on other aviation issues as well, including requests for more landing slots for Qatari and UAE airlines in Canada that had been blocked by Canadian airlines. The proposal to move the headquarters would require an approval of 60% of the ICAO's 191 member states. A vote will be held in September. The flagship Boeing 767 fleet operated by UPS is being modified with winglets as part of the company's sustainability efforts to save fuel and reduce emissions. These wingtip devices are designed to enhance the overall efficiency of the aircraft, saving fuel by reducing drag, while also lowering noise emissions by improving takeoff performance. UPS says the modifications will save the company more than 6 million gallons of fuel each year and reduce carbon dioxide emissions by more than 62,000 metric tons. UPS estimates approximately a 4% fuel savings on each 767 flight. The catchphrase, "You go, girl," has taken on new meaning at Sky Shuttle Helicopters Limited that has just announced Captain Meg Lamb and First Officer Kirsty Holtkamp as the company's first ever all-female helicopter crew to operate flights between Hong Kong and Macau. Captain Meg Lamb, who was born and raised in Hong Kong, and joined Sky Shuttle as a ground safety controller. In 2002, when Sky Shuttle launched a cadet pilot program for Hong Kong and Macau residents, she was selected and then participated in a 9-month training course in Australia and graduated as a first officer. In 2012, Meg became a captain with Sky Shuttle, and now she has over 11 years of flying experience. First Officer Kirsty Holtkamp was born in the Netherlands. Kirsty has been always amazed by helicopters, but flying remained a dream for a long time until she found a way to achieve her dream training here in the United States. Kirsty says, quote, "I love to fly between Hong Kong and Macau. Every time I fly into Hong Kong Harbor, I am fascinated with the view, and every night flight into Macau is a vibrant light show." as we said at the break, you go, girls. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now clear for departure.